Welcome into Texans on Tap, Episode 9. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pulillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X, at Pulillo, at JoshJordan975. Jack Brame is our producer. Guys, it was a sloppy and frustrating game at times. It was a close game, unlike the previous 2 weeks, and a good reminder that this team, it's a work in progress. We usually start with C.J. Stroud in the offense. I think maybe this week is a good time to focus in on the defense, given how Atlanta's final drive unfolded. Texans hold them to 21 points and got two really big takeaways in the second half. But the speed at which Atlanta was able to march down the field in the final 130 was the difference in the game. How much is Houston missing Derek Stingley at the moment?
Well, if Derek Stingley is the player he was drafted to be, then you're missing him a whole bunch. Not that he necessarily locks down half the field or takes out the other team's number one wide receiver entirely. But in the NFL, it starts with top-end talent. And if you're the third overall pick in the draft and in season two and you're healthy and you get off to a good start the first couple of games, the quarterback rating throwing at Stingley was rather low. It's a loss. That said, when you hold a team, at least in terms of points, down to a very solid number for three quarters and 13 minutes, that was a disappointing close. These things are going to happen. That Desmond Ridder was clearly the best quarterback on the field on Sunday. Mildly surprising, but not shocking. It's not as though C.J. Stroud had a terrible game. The interceptionless streak remains intact. But from the Texans' defensive perspective, you hold a team to 21 points. With a good offense, you expect to win. Right? NFL is an over 21-point-per-game league these days. Bijan Robinson never really got off. I was kind of surprised that Algier got more carries. It's not like Robinson has a real fumbling reputation. They didn't get gashed by big plays until the Falcons too easily were able to get into field goal position on that final drive.
Yeah, if I'm looking at the defense, for me, there's just not enough pressure. Right now, the Texans are 30th in sacks in the NFL. They only have six of them. T.J. Watt by himself has eight. You know, you are seeing Will Anderson get a lot of double teams and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, it doesn't matter. You know, great players have to deal with double teams, stuff like that, and they still get big numbers. So I'd like to see Will Anderson do a little bit better there. Not just him. I mean, Gernard, everybody, they got to get more pass rush. It's not just Will. And Gernard has had some multiple sack games, but it didn't happen on Sunday against the Falcons. I think of the defensive line jumping off sides, what was it, four times on Sunday? You know, just little mistakes like that really caught my attention. You can't do that, especially with a guy like Ridder. And I mean, he threw for 329 yards against the Texans this week, by far his best of the season. He was at 237, was his high previous to this game. So this was a little reminder of the same old Texans, just a little bit. In the fact of you get a borderline average quarterback come in and you kind of make him look like Joe Montana. That's what the Texans used to do. But overall, I don't want to kill them because in a lot of other categories, they've been really good for yards and points per game. They're very respectable. It's just they got to do a little better job of getting pressure on that quarterback.
And Ridder and the Falcons, in three home games, they've basically been good. Two road games, they've been crapola. So it was a home game. I mean, the Texans were badly outgained in the game, 447 to 313, I think, were the final numbers. Win the turnover battle, 2-0. No sacks for or against. The Falcons actually were called for more penalties in the game, so things you could point to. And if you didn't know anything else about the game, you'd say, ooh, the Texans might have snuck one out on the road. But credit to Atlanta, which, like the Texans, is an improving team. The Falcons may be a little bit farther along the way they finished down the stretch last season. And in Atlanta this year, really, with a second year of evidence to develop, is Desmond Ridder their quarterback of the future? We know C.J. Stroud is that guy for the Texans. At how high a level will he get? But the Falcons may just in the end have a little bit better team than the Texans right now, at least when the game's in Atlanta.
Yeah, on defense, the Falcons did look a little better, especially their pass defense. And Brandon brings up a good point. It'll be nice to have Stingley back. They didn't have Shaq Griffin on Sunday either, so that was a big thing for the Texans. I think it was third down was huge. Falcons were 50% on third down. Texans were 31% on third down. A lot of that because they couldn't run the ball. And not only could they not run the ball, they're getting blown up in the backfield. You know, Damian Pierce, there were some big situations, even Tank Dell on a jet sweep where he got blown up on the backfield. So it's not just Damian Pierce. I've heard some people frustrated with him, but I watched Christian McCaffrey in the 49ers, and I mean, he's got a lot of room to do some things at the line of scrimmage where I feel like by the time Damian Pierce gets there, he's already had to make a guy miss. So they got to figure that out. I don't think the answer is Titus Howard at left guard. I mean, that was the most disappointing thing to me is think how much money they're paying Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil. Offensive line didn't look any better with those guys back on Sunday. For me, that's a big concern.
Back to the defensive side. You get two takeaways and you don't give it up at all. You're plus two or better in a single game in the NFL in the turnover margin. You win more than 75% of the time. But evidently, 75 is not 100. So the Texans fall into the minority in that category. As we discussed in recent weeks, this is still a team, if not in the embryonic stage, certainly not adolescent yet in their growth. So there are going to be weeks where you're thinking, oh boy. That was more like the 2021 or 22 Texans than a playoff contender, which other than the frustration of the day, isn't a horrible thing, right? Getting better isn't just a linear path to the top. And still within the division, maybe Jacksonville sent a flare that, yeah, we are the team to beat with that very strong win over Buffalo in England. The Colts losing Anthony Richardson again, but beat Tennessee. So it's still a pretty clustered division. Texans will have to win this week, though, or their chances of taking the NFC South are up in smoke.
Well, they got gashed a lot through the air in the second half, and those two turnovers kept Houston in it, but it really seemed like the offense was having a hard time converting on third down, and so they just couldn't keep the defense off the field. What did you guys think in that final drive? It was a Longhorn-adjacent sort of zone defense, and Atlanta drives right down the field for a chip shot field goal, not to mention you call a timeout and there's a 12 men on the field penalty right after a timeout, which was just an absolute killer and inexcusable in that moment. But was that a failure of scheme or just an inability for the guys to get pressure on the quarterback in those situations?
You know, there's a football aphorism, the prevent defense prevents you from winning. And I don't think the Texans had their safeties playing 25 yards off the line of scrimmage. You know, sometimes a team just ups tempo and shakes up the rhythm, whether pass rushers get a little bit tired within a drive, much less when it's late in the fourth quarter of a game, the cumulative toll of the game. I mean, the Texans went right down the field immediately before the Falcons did for the go-ahead score. And no one should be saying, oh, they left too much time on the when you're behind, you have to score when you can score and get the lead. And then you need to come up with a stop. And they couldn't do it. So I'm going to go good for the goose, good for the gander. The Texans put together a very timely drive. Did Atlanta's defense go soft? And then the Falcons had the answer. I thought they played it a hair conservatively. I mean, Young Ho is a real good kicker, but taking those two knees, turning it into a 38-yard field goal as opposed to just a simple straight kneel down or plunge into the line, 32-33, that extra point. But he rendered that consideration moot. So not a horrible loss by any stretch. Disappointing if there were delusions of grandeur that, hey, the Texans could be 6-2 if they sweep these NFC South teams. Yes, and the Astros could have wiped out the Twins three straight, right? You can't just dictate the form chart to your desires.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit on it, Brandon. The whole second half, they were just having trouble stopping the Falcons, and that the last drive of the game was no exception. We were all thinking it. They are going to score too quick, but to Charlie's point, they hadn't gotten the ball in the end zone the whole game. You just had to get in there and score a touchdown. You can't worry about that stuff. The big jump out for me is, you know, Dalton Schultz was the leading pass catcher for the Texans in this game with 65 yards. So Tank Dell going out with an injury, looks like a concussion. The offense kind of was not the same after that deep threat was taken out. So I think that was a factor as well. But I don't want to be completely negative. I thought they should have won the game because they had the better quarterback. But if we're looking kind of where the Texans are right now, points scored per game, they're 13th. Points against per game, they're 11th. Total yards per game, 10th. Total yards against, 17th. The only thing that's really killing them is they're not getting any sacks, and they're 27th in running the ball. They just 82.6 yards a game. The Texans can't get the rush going, and they're not putting enough pressure on the quarterback. But all the other categories, I think D'Amico is doing a very nice job. They're in these games.
They obviously, or pretty obviously, no, full on obviously, have the better quarterback in terms of the guy you want going forward. But in an individual game, just as Patrick Mahomes isn't the best quarterback on the field in every game he's on the field, ditto Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, but a very, very high majority of the time they are. Yesterday, Ritter outplayed C.J. Stroud, who didn't turn it over, but the accuracy was off a little bit. Seven consecutive incompletions in the fourth quarter, maybe overlapping the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. These things are going to happen. Meanwhile, Ritter was 28 out of 37, showed some good pocket mobility himself. So a learning curve. Some Sundays it'll appear steeper than others.
Yeah, I think the Texans went into this game knowing we're going to have to stop Bijan Robinson. We're going to have to stop the run game. And it, you know, was kind of a, well, if you're going to load up to stop the run, there are going to be some opportunities in the passing game. So they're like, we're going to make Desmond Ridder beat us. And he did.
And it's probably a question of depth, too, because like you said, Josh, you had Tank Dell go down with a concussion. Robert Woods also went down with that rib injury. So the amount of targets that CJ had to throw to also were limited towards the end of that game. But like you mentioned, he did find Dalton Schultz in the end zone to take that brief lead with under 2 minutes. How much of it is targets? And also how much of it is the fact is they just could not get that running game. And you mentioned it, you know, you've got guys back and they still can't block, especially looked weak out on the edges. Anytime they tried those sweep plays, they got sniffed out. How much do we think CJ could take another step up if they actually are finally able to establish a dominant running game?
Yeah, and with it, the entire offense. I think sometimes it can be overrated that you have to be able to run the football. You have to have balance. Well, no, not if you can pass protect brilliantly. You have an excellent receiver core and tight ends, and you have a top-tier quarterback. Right? There, Josh Allen is the Bills' running game oft times. But when he has protection and can spread the ball around, starting with Diggs, etc., 20 carries for 66 yards isn't good. But as was the case a week ago, at least they're not just punting on the efforts to run the ball whatsoever. You know, if you can slow the pass rushers and get some semblance, you know, 4 yards per carry would feel like 8 yards per carry now. You know, that can open up some more play action if they need to take your run more seriously as opposed to, well, they're going to run, but they're not going to gash us. That offensive line, I mean, Tunsil's a very good player, but is he really a $25 million per year left tackle, especially if he's going to miss multiple games? More seasons than not. He was fully healthy last year. As Josh alluded to with the extension that Howard got, you know, you hope that's not throwing bad money after bad money trying to justify a first round pick with a second contract. But as a unit, there probably still needs to be some time for growth. When Scruggs gets settled in at center. Shaq Mason's a veteran player, so I don't think there should be some big growth opportunity with him. But the run game has been a huge disappointment since one of the very faint rays of light last season was, wow, Damian Pierce, before they shut him down to the final quarter of the season. But big picture, unless the Texans are going to surprise just about everyone and really be in the race in December, and these things do happen in the NFL, but unless that happens, I don't want to say the only thing that matters is C.J. Stroud, but 5 games into his career right now, the league record holder for most attempts without an interception to start his career. He's not running for his life on a regular basis. 3 consecutive games without being sacked. 5 games in, so far, so good, macro level for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, CJ has done a terrific job, just came up a little short on Sunday. They're going to be a little up and down. This is a team that, fresh off a rebuild, they're learning how to win. I think Bobby Slowick, we were praising him so much last week's game. I felt like this week could have, you know, been a little bit better. I know it's not just the outcome, how things looked as well. I thought throwing to the running backs on the last drive of the game, that's kind of what sparked the Texans, was that little angle route pass to Damian Pierce, picked up a big chunk, like 16 yards. That's the only ball he caught the whole game. So, you know, not just screens, maybe if they can find a way to throw to their running back, then that kind of makes up a little bit for the lack of a running game. In last week's game, Damian Pierce had 100 total yards. I don't care if they're 100 rushing yards or part of them receiving, part of them running. They're all extensions of the running game. We didn't really see any of that against the Falcons. And I think that might have been something they'll look to correct going forward.
You know, and you referenced the Dell concussion, and anyone can have the helmet bounce off the turf and get the bell rung. But I do worry that he is so small and so slight of build that he can't be a high usage guy, right? That he's the niche speed guy. And so if the Texans don't really have another speed element at wide receiver when Dell is off the field, that enables defenses to roll a little more coverage to Nico Collins, who had the one nice catch and run. It's a late first quarter for 25 yards, then just two catches, short stuff for 14 yards the rest of the way. So they're vastly better and obviously clearly better coached than we've seen around here in several seasons. But there's still work to do on the roster. And Nick Caserio has a massive draft and offseason approaching 2023-2024.
So, guys, let's wrap it up with your Texans player of the game. Who did you guys see as a standout for this week?
Boy, I'll let you go first, Josh, because I didn't have anyone that really lit the board for me.
I'll give it Dalton Schultz. You know, a tight end leaves your team in receiving, and he had a touchdown. But wasn't for him, they really would have struggled to move the ball on Sunday. So that was something we were hoping that we would see with CJ, considering what Schultz did with the Cowboys last season. Maybe this is a stepping stone for that relationship to get going for the Texans.
I hate giving it to a kicker unless he hits a 57-yarder to win the game. But on a day where the offense was quiet and the defense did give up the game-winning touchdown drive, Fairbairn has evolved. In his early years, inside 40 yards, he was annoyingly inconsistent, but he's pretty steady now and nailed 4 for 4. And when you needed the extra point for the lead, it's not an automatic from 33 yards. So I will sheepishly go with Kaimi Fairbairn.
Well, that's going to be it for Texans on Tap. We're doing an early look at Saints Texans in tomorrow's episode. And as always, you can listen to that early on podcast. Give us a follow on your favorite podcast app. Thanks for listening, and go Texans.